on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted four times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Well, you got Warnock playing at the forward who couldn't break. Armfield was just walking through the middle of the ground. Nobody was breaking for him whatsoever, so he had to stop and prop, and then he got nailed.
See, Walker just stopped. Hutto, he's kicked at Juddies, mate. Look where Walker is now. There is no running cup. They're actually in self-survival, the back line now.
The most pea-hearted, embarrassing effort from the Carlton Football Club I have seen. Let's not beat around the bush. We've gone backwards under Moldau. Full stop.
That was disgusting, insipid and uninspiring leadership. There's no one in that team that you could honestly stake a rebuild leadership on. There's no one. They are pathetic.
Carlton tonight was a bloody disgrace. I don't know what they're doing. It is a bloody joke. Worst I've ever seen.
I thought our work ethic was very, very poor. We're totally outworked. And as our players will hopefully consistently say, we embarrassed ourselves. I don't care what list I've got in terms of talent, because that's going to fluctuate through your career. But what I do care about is the effort for the Carlton supporters. Unfortunately, I've got to say that that is as disappointing game that I've been attached to here at Carlton. I am the coach. The buck stops here. You'll never get me avoiding the fact that the buck stops right here.
It was supposed to be Mick's party, and you wouldn't have blamed him for crying if he wanted to. How much will a humiliating night hurt his chances of reappointment, and does it change the pace of rebuilding? Superstar Chris Judd will front up shortly.
We've started well, and there's a lot of positive signs. We've got some momentum, but I thought the response tonight off the back of Anzac Day shows that our players were able to absorb a really strong performance against a rated opponent and still apply themselves to their preparation and then come out tonight and play a really strong, solid brand of footy. As I said, we've got a long way to go. We've got a lot of growth in us, and we're still looking for it.
Four wins out of five. The Pies are actually on top of the ladder for the moment. So what should our expectations be now? Scott Pendlebury will be our special guest.
As we have always maintained, there is no quick fix and there are no shortcuts. And we are doing this in a very methodical, measured fashion. I reckon, at best, at full strength, we're a reasonable football team. Well, we're not a great football team, we're a reasonable football team. But when we don't have our best out in the park, we have injuries, I think we fall away talent-wise. That's not an excuse, it's just, that is what it is.
After last week's disaster, it's a massive day for the Tigers at the G. And CEO Brendan Gale will join us in the box as the questions about Damien Hardwick's future grows.
He's definitely a minority. It's not the majority of Australians. So, you know, we are moving forward. It's just sad to see it pop up every now and then.
And there's going to be some times where you have some significant highs, and there's also going to be some times where it's not so good like it was earlier this week. But you just roll with the punches and just get on with the game.
There's a lot of times where boys might miss tackles, just maybe shirk the issue a little bit. So, yeah, we've gone through that. Leadership group, we'll see changes this week.
I don't think it'll ever be 100%. Obviously, it was a pretty serious injury, and if I can get it back to, you know, close to 100%, you know, that's good enough.
Someone at Frio should get a clip over the ear for this. It was an ill-conceived decision that has embarrassed them.
As usual, it's been another massive news week in the AFL. We'll get through all the issues, and in the crunch, we'll discuss the Dogs, the Tigers, Queensland footy, the Hawks and Cats. While the Saturday spotlight, we ask, are teams really taking the foot off the pedal deliberately during games to manage things for next week? It's another huge edition of Crunch Time, with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Crunch Time. A huge show coming up. Chris Judd, Scott Pendlebury, and Brendan Gale, our guests. And we'll have plenty of time for your calls as well. But our panel is assembled. Two back in Melbourne and one back here with me at the SCG, and that is former Collingwood captain, Premiership captain, Nick Maxwell, a man who spent a lot of time, of course, with Mick Malthouse, who would have had a miserable night last night after what should have been a joyous occasion was ruined by an uncompetitive performance by the Blues. We'll get Maxie's thoughts in just a moment. But David King, Mark Robinson, the normal crew are back in Melbourne with us. And Rob, I want to start with you. We'll spend a whole lot of time talking about Carlton and a fair bit about Collingwood as well. But Brendan Gale is also going to join us. And you wrote an article this morning about Damien Hardwick and the Tigers. So I'm looking forward to that chat.
Yeah, so am I, to be honest. Hello, Hutto. Hello, Maxie. It's round five, and I reckon we've got a line in the sand game. And after last week's performance by Richmond, Richmond finds themselves today against Geelong here at the MCG in what is a must-win game. Or they must perform, they must show effort, which gets us straight back to last night's game. And I'm looking forward to Brendan Gale. I'm still shocked, Kingy and Maxie and Hutto. I'm still shocked at what I saw last night.
Kingy, what was your thoughts on... Let me just get your thoughts on Collingwood before we get your thoughts on Carlton, because that's going to be a lot of our discussion this morning. But just a quick thought on Collingwood before we discuss the Blues.
Probably the most united team without the football at the moment. They're right up there with Fremantle, right up there with Sydney in terms of enjoying and embracing the game when they do not have possession. They play for one another. Their back line work together. They don't care. It's a team responsibility. They don't care if their individual opponent gets space from time to time. They defend together and they fail together. And I think it's great to watch this young group really, you know, taking giant strides, led by Brodie Grundy.
Scott Pendlebury to join us shortly. Former Pies skipper, as we said, Nick Maxwell's with us here. Welcome, Maxie.
Good to be here, mate.
Great to have you part of Crunch Time again. Well, how are you feeling sitting back last night watching your mentor, Mick Mouldhouse, on his big night have his occasion totally ruined by the Blues?
It was almost bittersweet, to be honest. I was disappointed for Mick. I thought that the Carlton players certainly didn't perform the way that the occasion required them to perform. So I was really disappointed for him. I know he was embarrassed, I guess, during the week with all the attention that was on him. But I was really pleased with the praise that was reaped on him during the week. I thought that, obviously, at times there can be a bit of a love-hate relationship with Mick and the media, but I think that everyone was very respectful of the achievement, and I think everyone took the time to realise the influence he's had on so many footballers, so many coaches, and the game as a whole. So I was wrapped with that during the week, but I was disappointed for him. But in the same breath, really impressed with the Pies, and I think it probably goes back to me. I saw some vision that we showed on the Collingwood Monday morning show where there was vision straight after they sung the song in the rooms Anzac Day, and it was right next to Bucks, and he brought all the players straight in, and they were all just so engaged. They were all just looking him right
that
in the eye.
That photo, Maxie, was on the back page of the Herald Sun this week.
Yep, and he was so engaged, Robbo, and yep. They were all just staring at him. They were hanging on every word, and to me that shows that they're playing for each other and they're playing for their coach.
I want to talk to you about Carlton, though, Nick. Where does this leave Mick Mouldhouse now?
Well, I believe that he's certainly the man who can take them forward, but I think that what the Carlton Football Club would have to do if I was the one in charge is I'd make that decision whether he is or whether he isn't. If he is, then you say, all right, you're going for 3 years, start rebuilding right now.
Carlton Football Club, Nick,
yep,
have changed every major position at the club. President, Chief Financial Officer, CEO, Recruiting, List Management. The only one left is Andrew McKay, and I don't think Andrew McKay is feeling safe in his job. I think that Mick has zero chance of coaching Carlton next year. No one at Carlton in senior positions have said anything publicly to indicate that he will be there next year. No, there's been not a lot of warmth. You know, in the president's, there's been
the opposite, mate.
Yeah, and in the president's meeting, I'll tell you about what happened in the president's dinner last night. And I want to say, first of all, Mick handled last night so well. It was great to watch. The Channel 7 interview with Christy just made it was really touching.
It was. Yep.
It was a fantastic initiative. Mick in the post match was just fantastic. He was composed. And, you know, it's the Mick that everyone likes. What happened earlier in the night, Mick arrived at the presidential dinner, and at that stage, Eddie Maguire wasn't going to talk. Mick spoke to an official at Carlton, and so I think it's appropriate that Eddie says something, and let's end it now. Let's talk and shake hands. So they quickly arranged for Eddie to get on stage, and then he went up. And how magnificent was Eddie to go off the cuff and spoke for 5 to 10 minutes of the greatness of Mick Mouldhouse. So Mick started that. And then Mark Laguda Show got up. Now, I wasn't there, but he did say, how in the hell do you follow and act like Eddie Maguire? So sort of Mark sort of bumbled and fumbled his way around. But last night was Mick initiated it. Eddie responded. and Mark Laguto come in at the back end. Wow. I don't think there's any warmth there. I think we're looking at a coach who's a legend who will be out of a job at the end of the year.
Can I just get Nick to finish off what you were saying, or re-emphasise what you were saying?
So what
like, you say they have to make a decision now.
What I'm saying is that Mick Malthouse will keep picking a team that he thinks will win every week. That's the team that he's going to pick, the best possible lineup he can pick to win a game. And that is, I know there's a lot of people talking about guys like Armfield and those type of guys. Well, he'll pick them because he knows they'll play a role for him, and he knows that right now they may be better than the guy who hasn't been tried yet because he knows that they can play a certain role for him. But if you say you've got 3 years or whatever you're going to do, if you make that decision, then he'll start playing some of those players to say, righto, we have to rebuild here. We've got to see if these players are good enough. We've got to see if they're capable of playing that level. And if something's not told either way, it doesn't have to be public, as long as Mick knows either way,
this is the course we're going. The players know. I think that this is a bit of a nonsense when we talk like this, because those players last night are not giving the same effort that they would 12 months ago to a coach that they know is 100% going forward with them, and there's no uncertainty, there's no grey area. To me, there looks like there's a small disconnect there already. And this is only going to get wider as the wedge is driven in through the course of the year.
Blame the club, mate. Blame the club.
I am.
It's not Mick's fault.
I'm not blaming Mick. I'm just saying the players are not fools. They know what's going on, and you'll see evidence on field for the rest of the year as to why this is just a nonsense to all say, no, nothing's to see here, nothing's happening, we're going to roll on. Performances like that will become the norm at Carlton.
If he's not going on then, boys, should they shut it down now and
absolutely.
Say, that's it?
Otherwise, you're going to have 18 rounds of that, of 12 goal losses.
You know why? Maxie and Kingy, tell me how would you feel? And I did an interview with Mark Laguto-Shea, and I asked him, would you trade Mark Murphy? And he said, we would listen to Steve Silvani, and if he's done a process, he basically said every player's up for trade. Mm. Now, you're reading that, and we're rebuilding. People talk about this word buying, and everyone goes, oh, it's a cliche. It is the most important two words in a footy club, because when you got buying, like Kingy described Collingwood last night, of the togetherness. Maxie, the togetherness that you guys had coming through 8, 9, 10, you were like a military unit. And look at this unit that came out last night. There's no trust, there's no faith. They're not helping each other, they're trying, they're running around in circles. They've had life sucked out of them. Mm. That's what they've had. They've had their life sucked out of them. And how do you get it back? I don't know. I really don't know.
Let's take Zach's call quickly from Essendon at 22 past 11. Chris Judd's about to join us. Hi, Zach.
I find it amazing how we're looking at basically saying they should drop their best players and reward guys for games because of how old they are. Well, how did that work out for Melbourne? You know, we criticised Melbourne for tanking. They gave games to young blokes who probably didn't deserve them. And how has that worked out for the last 10 years?
No, it didn't work out really well. And another example, Mark Wiley played last night.
But you need to look at them.
Yeah, I know. But you can't play 5 Mark Wileys.
He's not.
No, but people saying play the kids.
No, you can't Mick's play. The club aren't going to do that because you've still got to have a foundation around them. They're probably playing, in my opinion, 2 players right now that aren't quite ready. Christian Jacks and Wiley. They're clearly not ready for AFL football, but they're obligated to have a look at them to ensure that what they gave up last year, which was pick 7, mind you, in the draft for these guys, is actually going to come to fruition. And they've had to have a look at Buckley. They've had to make a decision on Wood. Is he going forward as a ruckman for us? Is it Warnock? Is it Cruiser? What are we doing here? And they've had to give players like, and we talk about it quite a lot, players like Bell, Tui, Jones, who's already in that category, opportunity to say, are they the future or not? You can't just play them in the reserves and at the end of the year get there and say, well, we haven't made a decision on this guy. Is
but
he
on
AFL
that as well,
standard or not?
As well, Kingy, Wiley, Mick left him on Pendles the whole night.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much he learnt from that? And then next week he might play on Dane Beams. They're playing Brisbane, I think.
He's on a drip today. Pendles played last night.
If he played in the VFL and had 30 touches, he wouldn't have learnt anywhere near what he would have learnt last night arguably the best midfielder in the comp.
Had this discussion with Jared Healy last night, and Jared is of the belief, and it's got sound logic, that by chasing someone's tail all night, you learn nothing. You don't actually learn where to run to get the football. You're just chasing a jumper. You're chasing an opponent. And you're negating an opponent all night. He had his pants pulled down at stoppages. So he wouldn't have learnt much there, except for most times he was in the wrong position. What does that actually mean? And then he chased him around the field while Penderbury got 32 disposals. Tough night for the kid. Does he really learn anything? This is not like the Ben Cousins Liberatore scenario, where Cousins was a ball winner and Libba's knocking him down. You've got to learn to put up with this. This is chasing the tail of me. It's got logic.
It's a really good discussion. I'm with Maxie. I think you would learn.
You learn work rate, Robbo. You learn how hard you have to work and how you have to the lanes you have to run to go from that stoppage when the ball goes into your forward line, where you have to run for the next play.